Good morning. So my name is Drew Entz. I'm the campus pastor at George Mason University, and my family and I come to Restoration. It's always good to be able to come and be invited to preach, so thank you, Tim, for giving me an opportunity this morning. This morning we're going to talk about the beginning of the beginning, and it made me go back and think about my beginning a little bit. Now, I grew up in Baltimore County right around the time Cal Ripken played baseball. And I remember how important local celebrities are, right? So in our yearbook in fifth grade, I wrote I wanted to be a pastor. I think most every other boy my age wrote that they wanted to be Cal Ripken Jr. And as I sit back and I think about the ways in which we love celebrities in America, one of the people that I identify a lot with is LeBron James, because I am the same age as LeBron James. I have slightly less basketball skill than he does. But I graduated high school the same time. We were born a month apart. And so as people are starting to recognize that LeBron James is getting old, I feel slightly offended. But I remember when he graduated high school and he came back to Cleveland and was drafted by Cleveland, how excited Cleveland fans were. It was like, as the kids read this morning, Jesus coming back. The Messiah was coming back to Cleveland to be able to win them that championship, to be able to help them win. And so this morning, as we sit down and we talk about what it must have been like for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, I kind of have that picture in my head of LeBron James being signed, everyone running out into the streets and celebrating, people buying his jersey. And if we can put up the Mark chapter 11, people may have also been saying in their own way, chapter 11, the verse 9 and 10, the first one. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the Lord. And now this isn't a literal Hosanna, but the people were that excited. And we have to go back and think about it and think about the fact that these people were shouting out when Jesus rode in on that donkey, Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. But the problem is when people don't agree with us or do what we think that they should do. And we in America, while we love our celebrities, we love to tear them apart too, right? We love to criticize, especially when they don't do what we think they should do, when they don't live into our preferences. And that isn't a new thing in this world either. So why don't we put up, after LeBron James in 2010 had his famous conversation on ESPN, which, by the way, he raised $6 million for charity for that event. Not a bad thing at all. But the people of Cleveland, when he said, I'm taking my talents down South Beach, they turned real quick and they started doing this, right? And there were all these social media posts of people burning their LeBron James jerseys. Because when people don't do what people think they should do, when we think they should do with their lives, we get upset. This past week, I actually felt really, really bad for my friends who like UVA basketball.
There it is.
Yeah, I grew up in Baltimore County. UMBC was actually my backup school. I got a nice big scholarship, and so, you know, I had a rooted interest. But I felt really bad because of the things that I started seeing after the game. It wasn't friendly jabbing during a sermon that maybe happened a couple weeks ago before I knew what was going to go down. But it started to become really mean, and people were sending death threats, hate messages to these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. We as America, when something doesn't go our way, we like to tear it apart. Another person, David Hogg, who is one of the students who survived Parkland, he was in the news because of conspiracy theories, right? Because people didn't like what he was saying. what he was standing for, what his opinions were. And so people began to spread these conspiracy theories about him and some of the other students who had just survived this tragedy. When people don't like what is happening, they move to attack. In my own life, I remember when I was in Smithfield, we had a bicycling evangelist come to our church. Sometimes in church, you have these really crazy things happen. This bicycling evangelist rode in, stopped at our church office, and said, "I'm spending the night here," at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just as we were getting ready to go home. I looked at this bicycling evangelist and I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, I have been riding all day. I've stayed in churches all the way along the way, and I am spending the night here. Where should I sleep?" Before I really had a chance to even figure out what was going on, bicycling evangelist, because sensed my hesitation, sensed that I was uncomfortable for some reason, and then took his shoes, brushed them off, and damned me to hell. And I am officially on his wall of shame, on his website, because we did not right away offer hospitality. And he went into the streets cursing me and yelling at me. And to be honest with you, it made my decision a lot easier. I felt a lot better. But you see, when we don't get our way, when our preferences go against what we think should happen, when they don't get met, we get upset. And friends, this isn't something that just happens today, but Jesus experienced that as well. In Mark chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, they began saluting him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. We like to mock people. And if it wasn't bad enough, we put the Mark 15, 6 to 11 up. That crowd who had at one point cheered him. The one who sat there in the streets waving palms, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," turned very quickly. They turned so quickly. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. The chief priests stirred up the crowd to have them release Barabbas for them instead. And they shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him." In 5 days, to go from "Hosanna, Hosanna," to "Crucify, crucify him." Friends, as people, as human beings, we love our celebrities and we love to crucify them too. In Mark chapter 15, 25, 32, you see this. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. Sunday to Friday. Hosanna to crucify him. And it's easy to look at people on social media and to see the way they treat celebrities. It's easy to read the Bible and to think about something that happened over 2,000 years ago. But friends, I think we have the same issue in our lives today if we're honest with ourselves. And I'm not speaking today as an expert, but someone who's convicted myself as I read and studied. I think one of the real challenges of Holy Week is that many of us go from Hosanna to crucify him, sometimes within the very same hour. Sometimes in the very same hour. But there's good news in the midst of this, right? The good news is that even in the midst of being mocked, of even being shouted out and taunted, the good news is that Jesus still finished his mission to bring us back in relationship with God. And we see this, that even though all this stuff is swirling around, which, by the way, let me tell you right now, if that was me, Sunday, everyone is saying how great I am. Friday, they were saying crucify him. Literally getting crucified, I've been like, nope, I'm out. Hard pass. That's what you guys want? Go for it. I'm out. But luckily, I'm not Jesus, right? Because this is what Jesus ends up doing. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried aloud, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he is calling for Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come down to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw this, he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. The curtain in the temple is really important because it was what separated the high priest and the Holy of Holies, where God was thought to dwell, to the common person. And so the fact that when Jesus dies, the temple curtain tears in two means that there's no more separation. And the good news in the midst of it all was that Jesus didn't have conditions for tearing that curtain. That Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you guys have been really mean to me. I would like an apology. And then I'm going to have something really cool to show you. Now, even in the midst of the crucify him, Jesus still tore the curtain and finished his mission. There is no more separation from us to God if we believe. If we believe in who Jesus is. No more barriers. No more us versus them. Only God with us. Mockery, criticism, hate, violence, doubt, they no longer won anymore because of what Jesus did on the cross on Good Friday. Only God won. Friends, this was the beginning of something new. The beginning of the beginning. In our world, this means that Jesus' way means that there's always a new beginning. And this message today should be a challenge to us. But we should also be encouraged. The challenge for us is not to act like the nameless crowd, shouting Hosanna's one and crucifying him the next. And for those of us who are sitting here right now, realizing that in a lot of ways we will say Hosanna and praise God while we're sitting here at church, and then going home and doing the exact opposite of how we act at church, that should be challenging. That should be so challenging and so convicting. I know it is of me. But there is a new beginning. So this morning, if you are doubting, if you are wrapped in fear, if you realize that you act one way in church and you go home and do something completely different, know that Jesus calls you to more. We should be Hosanna people all year long. Because guess what? We know that Sunday's coming. Spoiler alert, Sunday is a good day. Because resurrection is coming. But for those of us who feel down right now, who ask ourselves, what is going on? We have to know that Jesus has the final say. That even in the midst of our brokenness, even in the midst of us being like that crowd sometimes, Jesus has a new beginning for us. So just like UVA's basketball team, there is going to be a new season. And they will continue to dominate Virginia Tech, which I went. Hold it down. This is hard for me. They will continue to dominate, and they will continue to be really good. For many of us, we fall. We find ourselves joining the crowd, and yet God says that there is a new beginning. I want to share one more thing. LeBron James actually writes a lot of stuff on his sneakers. It's really interesting. I'm going to start doing that myself, is just writing things on my shoes and expecting people to care. But one of the things he writes is called Man in the Arena. And it's this beautiful quote attributed to Teddy Roosevelt, which I think helps, especially for those of us who are trying to change. Because again, whether we like it or not, there are a lot of people who are willing to be critical. There are a lot of people who are willing to mock, and there are a lot of people who want us to fail. And so he says this, "It's not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles." And I'm sorry, it says man a lot. It means anyone. I just named that. "Or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends themselves in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows, in the end, the triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." Friends, the crucify him crowd, they don't change the world. It's only the people who stand up, who want to make a difference, who stand with Christ and believe and live into these new beginnings.